Whatever you do, do it good, whatever you do.
Ooh, yeah. Welcome to Express Yourself, where creativity and conversation collide. It's the 5 Point Film Festival this weekend, and we are going to shine a light on a wonderful film, Old Ladies Against Garbage, having their world premiere right here in Carbondale. We also have some sumptuous live music with musicians from the Ben Fong production of Let's Tango and musicians from the High Country Sinfonia. So do stay tuned in and turned on.
So let the horn do the thing I do, y'all.
What a great weekend it is to be in Carbondale. Even though it's a little blustery out there, there is lots to do inside. It's almost easier to go inside and watch movies. And right now, I want to welcome Susan Barr, founder of Old Ladies Against Underwater Garbage, and Liz McGregor, filmmaker and winner of a 5 Point Film grant to create a film about the Old Ladies Against Underwater Garbage. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maeve.
It's great to be here.
Wow. All right. So first and foremost, maybe we better shut that door.
Sure.
There's lots of action out there in the Katie and Kay studios. Let's tell our listening audience what Old Ladies Against Underwater Garbage is.
The Old Ladies Against Underwater Garbage, or OLAG as we call it, is a group of 30 women between the ages of 65 and 86 who swim around, free dive around ponds on Cape Cod, eastern Massachusetts, picking up whatever garbage we can. On a really good dive, we can pick up 400 pounds of garbage,
oh, man.
Three or four tires, a bunch of lead pipes, once the back end of a Corvette, once a blue toilet with an eel living in it.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, the most amazing thing I felt when watching, I was on your website and just looking at the little montage, was the joy that you all have in doing this. I would be like all, ooh. But it just feels like you're so at one with all that garbage and what you're doing.
We have a very odd relationship to garbage. We scout every pond that we clean. And so if we scout a pond and find that it's pretty clean, we say, it's a dud, rather than, oh, what a wonderful clean pond it is. But we are on a treasure hunt, and so the joy you see is that of women being strong, being it's a purpose-driven adventure, and we're going to get the garbage.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. And speaking of treasures, what might be some of the treasures that you have found down there?
No pond is the same, so sometimes we'll have a pretty straightforward pond, which means beer cans, golf balls, dog toys, fishing lures, various articles of clothing, the cap, the bottom of a bikini, like you do. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you know. We know what they're doing in those ponds up there.
So do the fish. And other times it will be very much a boater's pond, and we'll get things that blow off boats. If there's a summer camp on the pond, we will get 14 pairs of little goggles and a ton of little bead bracelets and stuff like that. Short-term rentals, it's going to be spent fireworks.
True. Yeah. Wow. And so You've been doing this since 2018,
but we really didn't get started until about 2021. So we're about on our fifth year with a full complement of women and 20 ponds every season to clean. We've all told removed approximately 6,000 pounds of trash from the ponds. Much of it old, like ice fishermen who went out on the pond and left their beer bottles, very, very old beer bottles. Yeah. And then spring came and they went through, but also very new trash, too. It's really quite amazing. It's a historical record in addition to everything else.
Oh, I bet. And so, Liz, how did you find these women?
Well, a friend of mine sent me the post, but I'd already seen them come across my Instagram feed, and I'm just drawn to stories of water and women. And so when I saw this, I just immediately was like, okay, stop, hold on. And I looked into it, and then I wrote them an email. You know, I sought them out, and I said, hey, I would love to make a film about you. And, you know, they had been hearing from a lot of people. They went viral. They've been on the Drew Barrymore show. They've been all over, you know, the news. And but I sent them a copy of a film that I have worked on, which was in the Five Point Film Festival a few years ago, called Chicas al Agua. And they really loved the film and said, yeah, we would love for you to make the film.
We were impressed by her work, but we were even more impressed by her enthusiasm. It's one of those, we are not taking a no for an answer. So
I was excited. Yeah.
And what was the story that, when you start into this, is there a story you already feel, or does the story emerge as you're filming?
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like the story is deepened, really, because, like, when you know, from the outside, you see a group of women who are just dedicated and happy, and it's, you know, environmental stewardship, it's community building, but it's this joy factor that, you know, throughout the making of the film, we sort of dove a little deeper into, you know, what is that? Why are people crying on the shore as they watch you go in? It's just, there's a very poignant reaction that people have to these women when they're doing what they do. And you can't help but feel it. I mean, everybody feels it. And we hope the film will have the same effect.
Wow. It does.
I hope you don't mind, Susan, but you were telling me about how you even got to this place, and I think that story alone is so fascinating. Would you mind sharing that with our audience?
I swam on Cape Cod in a couple of ponds, which I really loved, and I turned 65, and I realized that my running, which I really loved, was going downhill, and my swimming was not going to be as good as it was forever. Rollerblading was going to stop. Ice skating had already stopped. And I thought, damn, you know, I am never going to be happy and old at the same time when I can't get out there in nature and really thrash around. I'm not going to be happy. Except there was one exception. It wasn't reading books on aging. It wasn't talking to older people. It was being with turtles. And I would swim down one side of the pond, and when I swam down back, I would notice that one after another, they would come to me, and they would look at their reflection in my dive mask. Some of them would try and climb on my arm and slide down as if I was some kind of playground slide. Once one thought that I was really a good-looking turtle. I mean, you know, that happens. And for those moments, you know, the sun would come out, streams of light would go through the water, and here's this little tiny turtle, so brave. What are you doing? If I couldn't face the future bravely, and here was this 4-ounce turtle swimming right up to me, daring me to get out of his territory or come closer, whatever. I thought, wow, you know, for those timeless moments, I am a perfect person in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand really what that meant, but I knew that the one path that had promise that would lead to a much better old age than what I was thinking I was going to get was to follow the turtles. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and I followed them, and I wrote about them, and I kept a swim log and sort of gave them names and found out where they lived and how they bred and their territory, found out everything I could about them. And then my partner Peter died, and I had to leave Chatham. I had to leave those ponds, and I tried everything to help and protect those turtles. Get signs written up there. Don't let your dog swim through the weed. It just mm-hmm. crashes their nurseries up. And when that didn't work, I thought, well, there's one thing I can do, and that's pick up the trash.
Wow. Now, that's just what a great story. And it is true, since you know so much about turtles, what do they do in the winter?
Oh, they hibernate. And so, actually, reptiles brumate, but it's the same thing. So the trick is they take a last breath, they go down, and they are under the ice, under the water, under the mud, and they go into a kind of coma.
Wow.
And if it's too cold, then they freeze to death. If it's too warm, they metabolize too quickly because they don't have a ready source of oxygen.
Yeah.
When I taught kids, grade school kids, about this, I would say, so how do you think they get the oxygen? Oh, a straw. Oh, bubbles. No, they butt breathe. And so snapping turtles pull water in and out of their butts and take the oxygen by osmosis. The one fact that I know every school kid on Cape Cod knows and will remember.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And now all of our KD&K listeners know that. What a great thing. And they were snapping. They're snapping turtles, but they don't snap at you.
I almost never got so close that I put that to the test.
Yeah.
Although one time I did, fishermen were fishing with worms, and the five snapping turtles came up, and I waded in, and I didn't move. And the fishermen are having a fit. Those are snapping turtles. They were like 30-pounders. They weren't even the big 50-pound males. The one time in my life, I simply stayed there, and they open and shut their mouths as if they're mm-hmm. going to bite you. But I knew that was pulling water in to smell me. And they looked up at me. One looked up at me, and I shook my head. I said, no. And she swam away.
Yeah.
That was the one time I was brave enough.
Wow. So now, Liz, as you were making this film, did you swim and pick up garbage as well?
We swam alongside. Uh-huh. I did pick up a little bit of garbage, more like on the side. But, yeah, we were, because you're trying not to disturb the bottom of mm-hmm. the pond, because then it's hard to see the trash. So we were on paddle boards in a kayak, and Paul, who was shooting it, Paul Wilson, was in the water swimming alongside as well.
And how many days did you shoot?
I think we were there for 5 days total, shooting for probably four, and in the water for three of the 4 days. Yeah, so we did a scout a couple of months before, and then I went back down, and then we came down and did the shoot in about 4 to 5 days. Yeah.
But you had drones. You had.
We did. Yeah, we had the GoPro.
Sorts.
You know, we had all the things. You know, we had the drone, we had the GoPro, we had an underwater camera system, and then another. Yeah, we had like four different kinds of cameras. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your filmmaking career and your being drawn to films about women and water. Where does this come from?
I think just my own interest in water and, you know, being a woman, I guess. Like, so I first started working in film in New York City as a production assistant, and worked on, you know, regular feature mm-hmm. films and stuff, mm-hmm. But kind of got back into the adventure film zone maybe 8 years ago. Uh-huh. But I've been involved with environmental film and environmental film festivals for like the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Took a break. I have small children. But the Chicas al Agua program came about. I was in Futaleufú, Chile, which is where that takes place.
Oh, I know.
Place.
Yeah, you do? I've been there. I've paddled the Agua Azul. We were supposed to do the Futaleufú, but it was too big.
We have a place down there. Like, we live there. Yeah.
Ooh.
My husband's a whitewater guide. So, I heard of that story, and I was sort of like, wow, that's amazing. You guys are doing this program about girls kayaking 13 to 18, and I just stopped and asked them if somebody was documenting, and that then became my first contact with NRS, mm-hmm. and then I just started rolling because I love it. It's so, I mean, I just love sharing the stories and, yeah, inspiration, you know, good stories about good people doing good things. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and you get to be out in nature quite a bit, too, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the world premiere. What happens after this?
Well, this is our film debut. It's our premiere, and thanks to NRS and Five Point for helping us make the film happen. So we will start our film festival tour circuit now. So we've submitted to, you know, probably 20 to 30 film festivals all told. Haven't started hearing back. We're doing an impact campaign. So Susan has a book coming out, which is a perfect complement to this film in September. And it goes into, you know, we're like sort of the jumping off point to her story. But there's so much more, and it's in her book. So we're going to do an impact campaign in the fall, which will be in coordination with her book release. So we're thinking about a year, and then eventually we will be launched and released on NRS YouTube.
Wow, that's great. So can I ask you, Susan, how old you are?
Oh, I'm 86.
My God. You look great.
And we still have to have a readiness swim every June, which means you've got to jump in the water, swim a half a mile in under 30 minutes, and be able to dive to 8 feet repeatedly.
Wow. So that's how you can become one of the old ladies who pick up garbage.
Except that we have a waiting list of 70 or 80, so... What is really on our plate now is how to expand, how to get different chapters in different parts of New England.
Yeah. Well, it's a great idea. When I first saw it, I was like, imagining that you were going in there like in winter. I was like, how can they be doing that? So I'm really glad that you are not doing this in the winter. They're probably frozen, the ponds, but... wow. I guess at the end of the day, the hope is that you would find more ponds with less garbage. But I guess that's not generally the case.
That's certainly one of the hopes, although things do blow in. And I don't think you're ever going to convince 100% of the people that these are not empty bowls of water where you can just put something and they disappear and really are gone, because of course they're not. But removing the garbage is certainly one, the great environmental thing that we do. But motivating women over 65 to stay fit, join in a strong sisterhood, and start saying, I'm not dwindling. I am growing. My life is becoming more exciting, more supported, more interesting. We inspire each other.
Right. I'm with you. I'm in the over 65. Let's just keep it going. So thank you for the work you're doing. The film premieres tomorrow at 3:30.
Yep, as part of the Grantee Showcase.
So I think there's still a few tickets available. People should go to fivepointfilm.org to get your tickets. And Liz, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
So my company is called Boondocks. So we're at boondocks.com or Boondocks Media on social media.
Nice. And Liz?
Yeah.
Old Ladies Without Garbage, you guys have a website.
Old Ladies Against Underwater Garbage, yes.
Underwater.
And it's OLAUG-MA.com.
There you have it. All right. Well, thank you both for being here. I can't wait to see the film tomorrow. And stay tuned, KDNK audience. We'll be back with some live music from Let's Tango, at least some conversation. Be back soon.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade. Shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing
tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Wow. Well, welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to KDNK. Express Yourself. I'm Amy Kimberly. And now we have the High Country Sinfonia with us. And, wow, what a fun day. So much good music. I love that. So why don't you go around and introduce yourselves and what you play, just to start.
All right. I'll start. My name's Delaney, and I play the violin in this particular concert.
In like any concert there is, you might find.
I'm Sarah Groff, and I'm playing the cello in the High Country Sinfonia.
And I'm Lori Patrick, and I'll be playing oboe in this concert.
Joining all the strings.
Yay! Nice. Wow. Well, I just feel like I just saw a beautiful concert last weekend that you played in. And Sarah, did you play in that?
Yes.
Too? Yeah.
Yes, we all did.
All of you were too. In the chorale. And wow. Can you believe how much music is available to musicians in the valley like this? It feels really abundant for something this size.
It is really amazing. We were just talking, actually, about how we all have been showing up at rehearsals and concerts and seeing each other there, thinking, wow, we're at the next project or the next concert. And, yeah, I think it's really exciting for the Valley.
Yeah. And for musicians, as it used to be, especially if you were playing classical or stringed or, you know, of that ilk, you'd have to go to the big cities to really be able to have this kind of experience.
Yeah, it's been a big spring. Lots of music.
Well, let's talk a little bit about High Country Sinfonia. I'm going to stand up so I can see you guys. I know it was mainly, I thought, started for stringed instruments, but maybe we've diversified.
We have special guests sometimes.
Yes, yes indeed. So we're really excited for this concert to be as our typically strings ensemble, as you mentioned. We're excited to have Lori Patrick joining us on the oboe with Bach's violin and oboe concerto in C minor. And we've also partnered with Natalie Spears to play some of the songs off of her album, Hymn of Wild Things, arranged for string quintet. So that's going to be really wonderful, too.
Oh, so lovely. So can we hear something?
Yeah, sure. Start with a little Bach.
Yeah. Delaney, do you want to start with the first movement a little bit? And we'll play a little bit of that. Sarah, you have your...
That sounds great.
Your music there. We're just going to do a quick little tuning A, and we'll play a little bit for you.
So here's the first movement, the first part of Bach's C minor oboe and violin concerto. Really unique instrumentation.
Thank you.
Wow, how lovely. So how do you pick your programs?
Great question. It's really a collaborative effort. We discuss pieces as a group, and people will bring forth different ideas. I am not sure how the Bach and Oboe Violin Concerto actually was discussed. I don't know if maybe Lori knows, but...
Wendy called me about a year ago, the director of the group, and said, hey, would you be interested in joining our string group with your oboe and do this lovely piece of music? So it's been sort of in the working for a while. We've been practicing our parts, and then we come together and rehearse as a group.
Yeah.
So you guys perform how many times a year, do you think?
We do a fall series and a spring series. These concerts are May 1st and May 3rd, just to make sure we say that.
I got it right here.
Yeah. But yeah, we do a fall series of two concerts and then a spring, usually somewhere in Carbondale or Down Valley, and then also somewhere up Valley so that people can come to one nearby.
Yeah. And do you practice? Play together all year round, or do you just
we meet get 4 weeks before the concert? We have 4 rehearsals usually, and then we have 2 concerts. So yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, it was amazing. I only went to Burning Man once. I gotta tell you guys, the only thing musical act that I truly saw, and I saw them 3 times, was the Black Rock Symphony Orchestra. And they were amazing, like all these musicians from, you know, all these professional companies throughout the world. And they come and just play, do these incredible compositions out on the playa. So that was my, I don't think everybody has that experience, but it was incredible. It was so incredible. So now this show, your first performance, as you said, is in Basalt.
Right, this at the Basalt Library on Friday, May 1st at 6:30 p.m.
And then you go up to the Aspen Chapel. So it's probably pretty special to play in the Aspen Chapel. Is it? Like, what's the feeling in there?
Oh, I love playing in the Aspen Chapel. Yeah. I don't know. Even if you're not really religious, I think it's hard not to feel a sense of being a part of something greater when you're in there, especially with just how beautiful the light is coming through the windows, and the sound is really amazing. And I know Natalie's parents actually got married in the Aspen Chapel, so it's especially special for her to be performing her music there, and feel special for us to be a part of that with her as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So are you going to accompany her as she plays?
Yes. So we're playing the string arrangements for string quintet from her album Hymn of Wild Things for string orchestra, or chamber orchestra.
Oh, yeah. So nice. Yeah. And I mean, when she performed at Palisade, I think were you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was
Sarah
so
as
beautiful.
Well.
Yeah. It was a lovely, lovely performance. Nice.
I keep trying to convince Natalie to write me an oboe part.
That's right. She's got to get outside of the box there, Natalie.
Yeah. I'm still waiting if you're listening, Natalie.
and just out of curiosity, and then we'll play one more. Do you ladies make your living from playing, or do you play and teach, or how is it for a working musician in this genre of music?
It's a little of everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a lot of playing. I think all of us are really performers at heart and at the center of things, but we all teach and work with groups of kids and run organizations and do a little of everything. I'm involved with the youth orchestra, and let's see, Delaney, you're at Waldorf, and with various.
Lots of teaching and lots of playing, and especially more recently, there's been a lot more playing, and we're really grateful for that. And it's been just really rich artistically this past year, especially, and also lots of teaching. Always lots of teaching, I think, which I know we're all really passionate about as well. And Lori works with Jazz Aspen, and
So
I think for me, a lifetime of trying to make most of my living through music, it comes and goes in cycles. And I think that's the most challenging. You're super, super busy. You can't imagine you could do anything more. And then maybe something changes or shifts, and you're without those music gigs. So you become really flexible in doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For example, tonight I'm also playing a quartet show at Steve's Guitars at 8:00. Quick little plug here for anyone still. with a string quartet from out of town. Some of my best friends from high school, actually. So,
that's great.
Lots of different projects all the time. And I think it's just about finding the right balance. And sometimes it's not in balance, and then it comes back, and we figure it out as we go.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Well, if people want to come see these performances, can they just show up? Are they ticketed? Are they free?
You don't need any tickets. You can just show up. We take donations at the door. High Country Sinfonia is a nonprofit, so all the donations just go straight towards making the concerts happen. So there's a suggested donation of $20, but no tickets required, and everybody's invited.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Let's hear one more. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little of the second movement while Lori's here with us.
Sure.
The instrumentation of this piece is really unique. There's not many violin and oboe concertos that I know of. And the second movement really highlights both of those instruments interweaving and flowing in and out of the melody with each other. So enjoy.
Thank you so much for coming in. And once again, people can find out more information about High Country Sinfonia where?
On the website or Facebook. If you just look up High Country Sinfonia, you'll see all the details on there. And we'll put everything on social media more in the next week so that it's all around.
Just to end on a positive high note here, musically, we have a really fun piece by Vivaldi as well.
Okay.
It's called Alla Rustica, Concerto for Orchestra.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Well, that was a good high note. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, girls.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that was a little tango music and a different group than we're going to get to hear now. But boy, it is action-packed here in the studios. It's so exciting. Some of my most favorite musicians from throughout the valley have all convened. And once they start talking, it's hard to get them all separated, but it's so great. I have another studio full of amazing people and musicians here. They are part of the Let's Tango, which is a Ben Fong production, and the final in their Barnes series. And almost every year we do a little tango something or a nod to music of South America. We had Venezuelan music last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. It just seems like yesterday, though. I can't believe we're already here again. And what a great studio full. So I'd like you all to go around and introduce yourselves. We'll start with you.
Hi, my name is Josefina Mendez, and I am a local musician here in the Valley.
My name's Evan Orman. I'm from Denver, and I make bows for string instruments is my main occupation, but I'm here playing the bandoneon this weekend.
That's how you say it. Okay, say it again slowly.
Oh, yeah. Bandoneon.
Bandoneon.
Yeah. Or in German, it's bandoneon.
Okay, because that's how I was sure. Wondering. Yeah. All right.
I'm Tim Fox, and glad to be back in the Valley right now. I was taught here a few years of my life, 32. And,
yeah.
It's great to be back and to see Amy and to see everybody in the Valley again. And I'm going to play this weekend with the group and looking forward to it.
Yay. And then last but not least, the big man over here.
I'm Eric Tureen. I live in Lyons, Colorado. I'm playing the bass.
Awesome. Actually, a friend of mine was just in Lyons and then was driving down the road and the neighbor was cutting a tree and it fell on her car while she was in it.
It's right
but
up
she
the
turned.
Me.
Is that? Yeah.
It's down the street from me. I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. She looked, turned out okay.
Yeah, the guy who owned the tree looked really miserable.
Oh, I bet he did. Man, I was like, what a horrible feeling that must have been. Anyways, we're diverting, but that is funny.
Good story.
So you guys are all here as part of Let's Tango. And we're missing one, Minsa Wu. She is playing a wedding. That girl, talk about all over the place.
She's a powerhouse.
Yeah, she really is.
She's the reason why we're here today.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So let's talk about this program and how it came together. You want to talk about that a little
sure.
bit, Josefina?
It started in 2022 when Minse connected with me and Tim as well and said that she wanted to put together this tango show. And it was a beautiful opportunity because I'm a jazzer. I sing bossa novas and... for me to play and sing my own music from Buenos Aires was a great opportunity. And we did our first show at the Third Street Center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where we met Eric. And and now we're doing it again with Evan. And
and Tim, you were part of the, were you part of the original one a couple of years ago?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
And I remember Josefina and I were playing at Heather's, and a couple times Minsa was eating there, and she came up to us and said, she heard her sing, obviously, and Minsa is just so adventurous musically and just wanted to play Latin music and tango especially, I think. So,
yeah,
she invited us to meet her in a more formal way, and we did.
And Eric's almost becoming a regular down here because of Minsa, because you were part of the Pugilist.
Minsa and I actually used to be neighbors in Lyons, and we were both in the co-housing community. So everybody there, most of us escaped eventually, but we were all the best of friends. And but it just so happens that Minsa's this world-class musician and relentless. Comes up with these ideas and makes them happen.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, just because we have all these incredible instruments here ready to go, shall we play something and then we'll come back to talking? Because I know there's a lot of interesting things about Eric that I want our audience to learn about, too. So, should we play?
Evan?
I'm calling you Eric.
But I'm on, yes.
You're Eric to me. Evan.
Well, there's,
I know some of his. Evan. All right.
Well, let's do a little piece of, we are missing our glue here, which is Mince. So, and Timmy doesn't have the piano.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our, a little thing.
Por una cabeza de un noble potrillo que justo en la raya afloja al llegar y que al regresar parece decir: no olvides, hermano, vos sabés, no hay que jugar. Por una cabeza me tejón de un día de aquella coqueta y risueña mujer que al jurar sonriendo el amor que está mintiendo quema en una hoguera todo mi querer. Por una cabeza todas las locuras, su boca que besa borra la tristeza, calma la amargura. Por una cabeza, si ella lo olvida, ¿qué importa perderse mil veces la vida? ¿Para qué vivir?
That's a little bit of Por una cabeza, a very well-known tune.
So, it's beautiful, just beautiful. This will be all musical. Are there any tango dancers this time?
Not this time. One of the tango dancers got hurt.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Mince decided that it was a good idea just to keep it musical. Yeah.
Well, that is more than enough. I mean, it's so beautiful. Well, Tim, while we have you here in our midst, because you are not often here, what's happening in your life? Are you still playing music?
Yes, I am. In Wisconsin, that's where I'm originally from, and went back for my family and ended up in Door County. Uh-huh. Met one of your dear friends, Billy Dave Sherman.
That's right. Well, you know, he was Cabaret Diosa. People all throughout Colorado loved Cabaret Diosa back in the day.
Oh, okay.
You should talk to him about that.
He's a fine singer.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I play a couple times a week usually in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Nice.
It's another community similar to this. A lot of artisans, a lot of musicians, and it's a very creative place.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I hear. I'm going to have to come out there and check
come
it
and
out.
See us.
Yeah, yeah. And now, Evan, you play this instrument. Can you describe what it looks like to our audience?
Sure. Yeah, it's about the size of a car battery. Just a square box with a bellows that opens really wide. You can sort of
It looks so pretty.
Out. And there are a bunch of buttons on the ends and straps that go around your hands, kind of like the sailor type of concertina, but bigger. And it's not an accordion. It's kind of related, down the branches of the ancestry of these free reed instruments. But the keys are all just individual notes on this. In other words, just no chords. There's no pre-constructed chords. Each note actually has two reeds that are in an octave, which gives it a really pretty... I'm trying to find an out-of-tune note so you can hear the second reed. So it kind of has a shimmer and a warmth to the sound because of that. And the left side is... sort of has the lower range of a cello, this open C string. And it goes all the way up on the right side to a high B.
Oh, wow.
Four octaves and 11 notes away, which it's sad that they didn't add one more button to fix that. And then they kind of overlap. So the left side has a certain like mellow... kind of a pretty mellow quality, and the right hand is a little bit more slightly piercing. And that's what it does. That's what it is.
Yeah, and obviously they didn't offer that to you in school growing up as a choice in the orchestra, did they?
Yeah, in Loveland public schools, it was bandoneon or flute.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm actually a cellist. I studied cello for many years, and when I was about 30 years old, I'll just tell you a quick story. I was working with a violin maker friend of mine in a violin shop, and he had been wanting to play Irish music and wanted an Irish accordion, and I had sort of always been intrigued with the bandoneon, and I loved Astor Piazzolla, but I had no idea where to find one of these, and I'd never seen one. And anyway, we were after work one day, and we were drinking. There was alcohol involved. And in the mail that day, a catalog had come from an accordion dealer place in Michigan somewhere. And we were looking through it, and he said, "Oh, look, they've got this two-row Irish accordion that I want. I might just buy this right now because, you know, ability to make good life decisions is impaired." And so anyway, he handed me the catalog, and in the back was a bandoneon. And I thought, okay, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I bought this thing, and it happened to be the right one. The keyboard arrangements on these vary a lot. And this is a particular one that the tango music in Argentina is played on, with 142 notes. And there's everything. There's just like lots and lots of these. They're kind of like typewriter keyboards with different letters in different places. And it happened to be the right one. And so I started learning on that, and just that's how this all began.
Well, what fun. And how is it to play with bass and keyboards with an instrument like that? Like, do you guys play off of each other when you're playing, or everyone has their stays in their lane? What's the deal there?
Of course, Tim's a very seasoned jazz player, and Evan knows this music so much more than we do, and so it gives us a chance. You know, at least he's actually more of a foundation than I am, which is a switch of roles, I think, in a way. But and of course, Josefina comes right, and Mensa is all over the place too. But it's very orchestrated. Uh-huh. Compared to a lot of other music that I play, and it's, but there's a lot of, it's also very passionate music, so there's a lot of room for really emoting. Mm-hmm. You can't go overboard. It has to, you just go for it.
That's what's so beautiful about South American music. What about for you, Tim?
Yeah, for me, some of the similarities from the music that I played a lot were, the syncopated rhythms. Mm-hmm. And this whole concert is, well, maybe there's a couple that aren't Piazzolla composers, but mainly Piazzolla. And he is just an incredible composer that could mix these instruments. And sometimes we're playing together in unison. Sometimes we're playing the stuff that our instrument does the best. And the piano... For me, I get to play some of the bass lines with Eric, and I get to play some of the melody with Mensa and with Josefina and Evan, and some chords to just accompany as well. So it's, but it, as Eric said, it's very orchestrated. It's way out of my wheelhouse, actually. And it's a great challenge, and it's so, I'm learning a lot. And especially, from Evan, who's, and Josefina, who obviously grew up with this stuff. And, they have the real stuff coming on, and of course Mensa, who I think has loved tango for a long time.
Oh my gosh, Mensa can play that violin just like Piazzolla played the bandoneon with so much emotion, so much. There's so much out of her that you can feel. Like, I get goosebumps when I see her and I listen to her. She's just like the whole combo. She's just mesmerizing.
I know. We really are lucky in this valley and lucky to have all of you musicians who live there, even the ones that move away. And then we love our visitors, too. Yes. So the shows are Saturday and Sunday at the RVR Barn in Carbondale. Saturday night, I think, starts at
7 p.m.
And Sunday is a matinee.
It's a 3 p.m.
Yeah.
There's tickets available still.
Good, you're
They're
so
going
good.
Fast.
Yeah.
And get ready because Piazzolla has some masterpieces for us to perform.
It's true. And you can get your tickets at Benfeng. That's Benfeng. And I really don't know if that is a .com or .org. It's got to be .org because we got our nonprofit. I'm on the board. I should know this stuff. And they do always sell out, so people should not wait. It'll be beautiful, like on Sunday afternoon, looking at Sopris and hearing this music, or Saturday night. You might not see Sopris as well, but actually 7 p.m. now we still have light. Yes. You'll get the sunset and the Alpenglow. Yeah. Well, let's go out. Can you play one more song? You got one more in you?
Let's introduce a little bit the bandoneon and what the beautiness it has.
You want to contrast maybe a melody, you sing it, and I play it on each hand and...
Sure. So this, let's improvise a little bit of Oblivion. Yeah. Oblivion is a masterpiece from Piazzolla, composed in 1982. And it's Oblivion means olvido. It comes from a Latin word, and then it kind of switched to an English, so that's why it's Oblivion. And it means forgotten or being forgotten. And it was in a movie. So here's a little bit. It's hard without the piano and without Mince, but just to get an idea of the beautifulness of it.
KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond.